At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Monday, the Beating the Book podcast. Guest in line, week three, National Football League. Chris Andrews from Los Angeles this morning, the director of the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. He's with us as always in his rightful place, where he belongs. We go through the process. The design to gain an edge and a first look of upcoming NFL lines for the forthcoming week, week three of the National Football League. And as I didn't know at the outset, but later found out when we recorded it this morning, one of the biggest spreads of all time. We talk about its historical place as well, included in today's episode. Week three, guessing lines with Chrissy. Enjoy.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It is a numbers game. As I step on Charles Barkley to start the week. One of those idiots that believes in analytics. What's happening? It's Gil Alexander, SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app. It is where sports betting analytics live, actionable sports betting information. JB is here on a Monday. John Brown, as he does now on Guessing Lines. What's happening, man? How are you?
Good morning, Gil. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good NFL weekend. Little 3-2 in the contests, you know, just steady along. Steelers got me. Wasn't really the Big Ben injury that got me. It was just a bad call. We'll get into that. What was the other one that got me? Early as well. Now it's slipping my mind. But somebody got me early as well. Oh, yes, the Minnesota Vikings. I got Kirk Cousins. And every Redskin fan can looks at that game yesterday and just shakes their head and goes, yep, that's what they paid $84 million. We could have told you about this.
Yeah, that one got me too. We were talking about that game last week. Definitely the Vikings got me.
For sure. Good weekend for you though. Ultimately, good?
So I've still got one entry left alive in Last Man Standing, and I put it on the stale line for the Browns tonight because they were offering 2.5.
That's right,
6.5 now.
For a super contest.
And then let's see, what else did I? I took the under in the Dolphins game. And then that just squeaked out the under there since they didn't score.
Uh-huh.
And then, let's see, I had the in-play under in the Chargers game, which was a dream, for sure.
Well, you know what we do on Mondays here. Every Monday, we've done it on the podcast side for many years, the Beating the Book podcast, and we do it right here on a numbers game at VSiN Mondays during football season, and last week it was the return of the show after being with us sort of a spotty fashion last year, for obvious reasons. Ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles, California, he's the sportsbook director of the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook right here. It's our buddy, my mishpocha, Chrissy Andrews. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing pretty good, Gil. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How was the weekend from a book perspective? How'd you guys end up faring?
Saturday was not good. A lot of big favorites won. A lot of steam plays won. So Saturday, we're definitely licking our wounds at the end of the night. However, we made a really nice comeback yesterday. And really, it's one of those things where when I look down the schedule, I'm not sure where we won all the money. You know, it was one of those weeks where, like, the late games really helped us. Usually the late games, because you just have so much of your action funneling into the late games, you can win a little and lose a lot. But yesterday we won pretty good on the three afternoon games, and then of course the night game turned out very good for us too. So we wound up having a hell of a day.
So my headlines from the weekend. We're going to get into every single game for next week, and then in that process we'll talk about these games from yesterday in the National Football League. While we do that, the idea here is for me to come up with a line that I think it's going to be. What the actual line is that Chris is going to put up here at the South Point Hotel Casino. It's a tribute to the old Stardust radio show back in the day with Roxy Roxborough. And in that process, try to seek an edge. And one of the things that we say is, you know, look, don't hold us to what the reaction was. Because I had four of them last week. New England, at the time of this show, I guessed 17.5. You said 16.5. And I'm like, well, give me that all day long. And not only did it come to me, it went through me. So by the end of the week, that wasn't a play for me. Wish it had been, by the way. And then another one, Minnesota was one, Atlanta was one. The other one was Washington. And so just a reminder for people, stuff happens during the week. So in the end, the Redskins lost. This is all during the week. There's going to be no Darius Geis. There's going to be no Jordan Reed. There's going to be no Quentin Dunbar. There's going to be no Jonathan Allen. By the time that came up, you couldn't play the Redskins. So just keep in mind, this is our first reaction to things. But the headlines for me, before we get into these game by game, Chrissy, I'm curious what your thoughts were on this. This seems to be the NFL so mired by flags at this point that when I look up and down the slate yesterday, oh, and on Thursday, 12 out of 15 went under. Am I right about that? 12 out of 15, I believe. 200.
I have to look, yeah.
Yeah, 200.
That probably helped us quite a bit, too, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it did, right, from your perspective, because obviously the casual bettor is wired for the over. 235 penalties called. I counted. Those are the accepted penalties throughout the National Football League. That's crazy. And so I wonder if there's an angle in that. If they're going to really hold steadfast to calling these holding penalties, maybe the under parade is just beginning.
Interesting, because usually we're looking at the pass interference penalties and thinking that was a great benefit to the offense. I still think that kind of is, but you're right. I mean, I forget who it was. They had four holding penalties in the first quarter yesterday. I can't remember exactly what game it was. But it's funny how guys like us, you know, you tend to just get used to things, I would say. And naturally, I'm here in L.A. I'm not in the sports book. And I only have the Red Zone channel on. Well, I have others, but we just, my wife and I, we sit there and we watch the Red Zone channel. But she said it yesterday. She goes, boy, there's a penalty on every play.
It's ridiculous.
You're right. You know,
it is.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things, like I said, where we just kind of I can only speak for myself, again, come to kind of accept it. Yeah, there's just, you know, flag every play. And, you know, really interrupts the flow of the game, you know, from a player's perspective, but also from the audience perspective, too. And, you know, I don't know which way they're going. I mean, we're, you know, still kind of early in the season. But, yeah, you're right. Right now, the holding penalties are ridiculous, or how many they call. And, you know, last year was more the pass interference. And, of course, now we had one pass interference call that they missed last year, and then the whole league changed, you know. So, I mean, right now they're doing a lot to destroy their product. I mean, I don't want to say that, but, you know, when you look back at Mark Cuban thinks that they've done a lot to hurt their product, and, you know, he's a pretty smart guy. But right now, they got to do something to really help the flow of the game. And some of the calls on this are just ridiculous. And I'm sure we'll get to, you know, the Bears and Broncos at some point, because that roughing the passer penalty
was just
awful.
Just awful.
And really, I mean, it's a game. You know, we only get 16 of them. You know, and it gave one team a win and the other team a loss. You know, and you know, they, like I said, one out of 16, that's a pretty big percentage. You know, it was really a horrible call that set that up.
Bradley Chubb flagged for playing football. It's basically what it come down to, what it came down to. The other two headlines, and we'll get into all this here as we got to jump in because there's so many games to get to with nobody on byes. You brought up Denver going it for two, down one late to try to win it. That's a whole thing. We'll get into the details of that. Jacksonville did the same since 2001.
Yeah.
Teams are 8 of 19 when going for two, down one in the fourth quarter. We had two instances of that yesterday. Could that perhaps be something that will rear its head more often? And then the quarterback injuries, Big Ben and Breeze. Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, respectively, for the Steelers and the Saints. You know, we shall see. We don't know what their status is as we do this morning. So that could be two, obviously, staple names in the National Football League that we may not see for a while. We'll find out what the results are of that. But let's start with Thursday because we have the full slate here. Chrissy, give me the Thursday matchup. Good Lord, you weren't here when we talked about this on Friday, but I just did a whole segment on that last Carolina-Tampa Bay drive and all the shenanigans of that drive. Thursday Night Football just looking like it's a tough watch each and every year, and that certainly was. Who do we got this week on Thursday?
First of all, I've been knocking the Thursday games forever. I can't stand them, though. They're horribly played. And, I mean, I'm sure the TV ratings are fantastic, but the product on the field is not. Anyway, we got Tennessee at Jacksonville.
Another barn burner, right? Right out of the gates.
Yeah.
By the way, you could just throw up. I mean, I guess Jacksonville's probably the team with Gardner Minshew. We don't really know truly what we're getting from him. So maybe don't throw them into this group. Maybe possibly yes, but the other three teams, just throw them up in the air. Although I have an opinion about Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis might be the best team in the end. We'll get to that. Tennessee at Jacksonville. Tennessee coming off a loss to the Colts, the aforementioned Colts. Could have gone either way. Colts get a touchdown to T.Y. Hilton with 4:38 left. That stood, led the Colts to a 19-17 victory, Titans home opener. Andrew Luck had beaten the Titans 11 straight times, all 11 times he faced them. Jacoby Brissett picks up where Luck left off. And then Jacksonville loses to Houston as big dogs, a game they covered and could have won. Minshew, 23 of 33 for 213, one touchdown, no picks, sacked four times. But the penalties, and I'll just mention this with every team, 9 penalties for the Jags, 70 yards. Houston led by 7 in the fourth quarter. Minshew, long drive, first real sustained drive of the game, converted to 4th and 10, capped it with a 4-yard touchdown pass to DJ Chark. And then instead of trying to tie it with the extra point, Doug Marrone opts to go for the potential win by having Leonard Fournette attempt to run it for the 2-point conversion. He is stopped by Justin Reed, 13-12. It's upheld by video, 13-12. Texans win it. Jags were without 4 starters. They didn't have A.J. Bouye. Receiver Marquise Lee. Defensive end Yannick Ngakoue wasn't there. Left tackle Cam Robinson. So they were banged up. And then Jalen Ramsey got into it with Doug Marrone on the sidelines. And when they asked Doug Marrone about it afterwards, he's like, I don't know. I can't recall. I don't know what it was about. So that was that. All of that to say, this is a coin flip to me. Tennessee at Jacksonville. It's probably a pick 'em, right?
We got Tennessee a slight favorite. I see as low as 1.5, as high as 2.5. We're going to go right in the middle with a 2, which I think is a decent number. You know, I think the Gardner Minshew train maybe has had a little bit of a slowdown here. He looked good. He certainly didn't look great. I mean, would they put up 12 points in the game? You know, so I mean, he looked all right. The rest of the team, I think, really is hurting a little bit in Jacksonville. Not that Tennessee is any great shakes. They're certainly not. But I think Tennessee does deserve to be a very slight favorite. Although I guess home teams have been pretty strong on these Thursday nights. But I think Tennessee a slight edge. I think 2 is a pretty good opening number. That's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, that's such a non-pre-flop game. That's the wait and see, live bet it kind of thing, I think. Not a very exciting
matchup. Yeah, I mean, I know you're not too crazy about Mariota. I think kind of the league has caught up to you on that, really. But, you know, the Gardner Minshew and then all the injuries you mentioned with Jacksonville, you know, they're a little bit on the ropes right now. I think it's going to be a big game for them that they need to win. But I got to say this about Mike Vrabel. Really like him. I think he's coming along pretty good as a head coach. And I think the future is probably pretty good for Tennessee with Vrabel at the helm.
All right, let's do one more. Let's go to Sunday morning. Let's start there.
Sunday morning, pretty decent game here. Denver at Green Bay.
Denver at Green Bay. Well, we got right to the teams that went for 2, down 1 in the fourth quarter right off the bat. That closing sequence for the Broncos yesterday against the Bears. My goodness. Denver scores to come within 1. They decide, Vic Fangio decides, go for 2. Let me just say, in both the case of Doug Marrone and Vic Fangio, I kind of like both plays. I know a lot of people are like, just kick the extra point
time.
But I thought Jacksonville and Denver's offenses were so inept in both cases.
Right.
Why not just try to put this out when you have the one opportunity you might get? And in Denver's case, get flagged for a delay of game. That pushes them back. So Fangio's like, and correctly so, he's like, all right, well, now we're just going to kick the extra point. That goes wide. And you're thinking, okay, Chicago wins the game, and Denver bettors rejoice because you get the one-point loss. Nope, penalty on Denver, offsides. Then it brings it forward, and you're like, okay, they're going to go for two again. They convert the two. First of all, it was a Flacco to Sanders pass in the corner of the end zone. They gave him the touchdown. Knee perfectly inbounds in the corner of the end zone. Then just past the goal line, the two-point conversion is made. Denver goes up a point, and then that's the sequence you were talking about. Chicago gets the ball back. There's a roughing the passer, just absolutely brutal roughing the passer call on Bradley Chubb. Garbage, quite frankly. And it put the Bears in business at the Broncos 45 right out of the chute. What people will forget after that, though, Chrissy, is that there were three incompletions consecutively after that. So because there was a 12 men in the huddle call, too, on the Bears, if you recall. So they ended up having a 4th and 15 from their own 40 with 9 seconds left. And that's when Trubisky hits Allen Robinson. He drops to the ground. Was there a second left? Was there not? I thought there was. Turns out there was. The refs give the second. And then Eddie Pinheiro kicks a 53-yarder to give the Bears a 16-14 win over the Broncos. And Vic Fangio, once again, to his knees, a man with a fanny pack walking around a museum with his two hands clasped behind his hand, behind his back, walking from painting to painting. By the way, 10 penalties for the Broncos, 81 yards. They were another team. Their left tackle, Garrett Bowles, he was their top draft pick in 2017, whistled for holding a career worst 4 times. That gives him an...
That's the game I was thinking about. Okay, yeah. I had my facts a little bit confused. Yeah, but he got called for 4 holding penalties. I remember that. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. That's 34 flags for him in 34 career starts. That's an NFL high.
Ooh.
And then there's Green Bay. Green Bay probably should have lost that game to Minnesota. They got a 21-0 lead. Maybe they... it's hard to say should have. But they certainly, if you're a Green Bay backer, you had to feel fortunate at the end of that game. The Cousins threw a pick late to preserve that win and cover for Green Bay. But it's Green Bay at home against Denver. I would imagine Green Bay's, I mean, look, Air Flacco. Joe Flacco's not scaring anybody here. So I'd say Green Bay minus 6, and maybe I'm low. I'll say 6.
You're a little low. I see 7.5 and 8.
Wow.
I'm kind of with you. I think I'd open, had I been in a vacuum,
yeah.
I think I'd open this 7. You know, say what you want about Flacco. I know he's not great. I understand that. He started this whole elite thing, which drives me crazy now. But he is Joe Cool. I mean, you see him on that last drive, and, they certainly didn't have much success during the course of the game. But he doesn't get flustered. He had that team hanging in there till the end, and they, I think, should have won the game. I personally don't think there was 1 second left on the clock, but, it's just the way it goes. But I think that, he's not bad. He is very cool. The Denver defense is pretty good. They played well yesterday. They didn't play so well the first game of the season, but I think they'll come together. I'm not sure that we've seen the best of it. I think we have seen the best of Aaron Rodgers in the past, and I'm not sure that he's all that good anymore. I mean, is he good? Yeah, he's good. Is he still, like, among the absolute best? Well, I guess with Breeze and Roethlisberger, both might be out. I guess he is. But I think that great, great play that we've seen out of Aaron Rodgers for a while now, man, that might be kind of coming and going a little bit. I don't have quite the faith in him that I did, let's say, 2 years ago or even a year ago. I think it's a little high. I'm going to open 7.5 because I think if I open 7, I'm just inviting a play on Green Bay. I'm not ready to do that quite yet, but I do see a lot of 8s out there. I'm going to open 7.5. I hope they bet me Green Bay because I don't mind going in and needing Denver in this spot. I think Denver keeps it close.
Interesting. I like how you you anticipate what you anticipate and then have to behave accordingly. So 7.5 is where you're opening it, you said? 7.5.
Yeah, I think, like I said, were I to make the exact the opening numbers in a vacuum, I think I would open to 7.
Okay.
I don't have that much faith in Green Bay at this point.
Green Bay, Aaron Jones, 23 carries, 116 yards, a touchdown. Devontae Adams, 7 catches, 106 as they hold on and beat the Vikings yesterday after getting a 21-0 lead and then holding on for dear life the rest of the way.
Yeah.
We'll come back, Chrissy.
Yeah.
We'll do more for week three in the National Football League. Reminder to everybody, don't begin the football season or any sports season without downloading the exciting new BetMGM app. First-time players can make their first bet completely risk-free, up to $500. And the same guys that bring you Atlantic City's premier hotel and casino will be with you all season long with a wide variety of betting options and easy deposit and withdrawal methods. Right now, you can download the app and use the bonus code VSIN500. That's VSIN500 at sign up to get your $500 risk-free bet. That's bonus code VSIN500 to place your first BetMGM wager risk-free. You can sign up anywhere, but you must be in the state of New Jersey. To place a bet, gotta be in New Jersey. That's where this applies. BetMGM, it's how you play the game. Download the app today. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey only. Restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Coming back. Guessing Lines, Week 3. We continue with Chrissy next on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, just like the man said, it's Gil Alexander. JB's in for producer number 5, Jeff Parlay today. Jeff Parlay, for those who are wondering, won't be here tomorrow. The reason he's not here tomorrow is because he had tickets and still has them, and that's why he had them pre-planned. He's going to tonight's Monday Night Football game in New York, his beloved Jets taking on the Cleveland Browns. And that is the anniversary, not the anniversary, but it's the same matchup as the very first Monday Night Football matchup there ever was between the Jets and the Browns. Happened to be those two teams. Joe Willie Namath was playing quarterback for the Jets. It was 1970. First two times these two teams have met since on that stage. They've met before many times in between, but the first time they've ever returned to the Monday Night Football stage, this matchup, the Jets and the Browns. Chrissy, before we get back into these games, do you remember where you were the first Monday Night Football game in 1970? And just try to, if you could for us who do not remember such a thing, how big of an event was it? Like, how excited were you for this?
Well, first of all, yeah, I remember exactly where I was. It was at the 324 Avenue L, right where I grew up, you know, so I remember that well. But, yeah, I was with, you know, my Uncle Jack and my dad, and, you know, remember when the game started, by the end of the game, which you got to remember, it was really late back east by the time that thing finished. I think, boy, this is the greatest thing in the world. We got this one isolated game. You know, because, you know, in my household growing up, like on Saturdays and Sundays, we're all flipping around the radio and getting scores and making phone calls. And, we, you know, we very rarely sat and just watched one game as it went on. So to do this, it was really kind of an event. And, of course, I thought, the production, and we might laugh at it now were we to see it. But at the time, it was fantastic. And, of course, you know, either loved or hated Howard Cosell. And Keith Jackson was the play-by-play guy that first year. And I think Frank Gifford was one of the color guys, him and Cosell, if I remember correctly. And I just thought it was great. It was fantastic. I can't remember the exact outcome of the game. But I remember Bill Nelson being the quarterback for the Browns, who was a former Steeler. And, you know, it was just, I can't remember too much other than that. Just the fact that it was a terrific event that really caught our imagination and obviously the imagination of, you know, the entire American public. So it's been going strong ever since then. And, you know, it was just, you know, one of those things in life where you remember where you were. And I remember exactly where I was.
It was September 21st, 1970, and the Browns won it 31-21, I believe. Is that the final score of that game? It seems like a high-scoring game, but that's what it was back in the day. Tonight, 6.5-point favorites in favor of the Cleveland Browns, who that was a bump from an opener of 2.5, the reason being Sam Darnold's mononucleosis. By the way, he's saying he's feeling better already, and instead of Sam Darnold, it'd be Trevor Siemian going for the Jets tonight in their game against the Browns at home. 6.5-point home dogs tonight at Monday Night Football. Chrissy, what's next for week three next week?
Next we have Detroit at Philadelphia.
Detroit at Philadelphia. Detroit got it done somehow.
Yeah.
They beat the L.A. Chargers yesterday. Beat them by a score, final score of, well, let's see, 13-10. And Lord knows the Chargers had their chances. We'll get to them when we get to the Chargers section of this. But Detroit is at Philly. Philly coming off the loss last night. Carson Wentz is just fabulous. He got hurt in this game. He was getting brutalized by the Falcons. A lot of big hits. But he came back in the game, And they did their thing, the Eagles did, converting a lot of third downs in this game last night to stay in the ball game. They had a curious play in the middle of it where, first of all, in the first half, not only did Wentz have to leave the game and come back, but they lost all three of their wide receivers, the Eagles did. Yeah. Aguilar ended up coming back in, but Deshaun Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey had to leave the game. They lost their center. They lost their second tight end. They were down 17-6, the Eagles were in this game, and then Doug Peterson decided, instead of kicking a field goal to make it 17-9, I think it was fourth and goal at the four, I believe it was.
Yeah.
He decides to go for it. And I'm just like, what is he doing? Chris Collinsworth says it's absolutely the right decision. I'm like, really, was it? Are we just basing this on the result that he actually got the touchdown? They don't end up getting the two-point conversion, but they do take a lead late in the game. And then a late Falcons 4th-and-3 conversion that Julio Jones took the house is what ultimately sunk the Eagles, even though they matriculated the ball down the field late and had a shot after converting a 4th-and-14 on the final drive. But they were 9 of 18 on third downs, Chrissy, which is what they did their Super Bowl year, if you remember. They just were phenomenal on third downs. They were 2 of 3 on fourth downs. Didn't get it done last night, but there's nothing about this team that doesn't lead me to believe that they could be Super Bowl bound. They lose. Detroit wins. And we'll get to the Chargers portion of it with Detroit. 8 penalties, 71 yards. Matt Prater missed an extra point. He also missed a 40-yard field goal. I mean, the kicking around the league is just for big names, too. But I think Philadelphia will be a pretty sizable favorite here. I'll say 6.5 at Philly.
Well, you're a little light, 7.5. And I kind of agree with that number. You know, I look back at Detroit and think, well, you know, Matthew Stafford, he didn't play bad. They looked okay. What, they have 13 points in the game? You know, they didn't put up much. And you know, if you look back at that Philadelphia game last night, I mean, Aguilar dropped a touchdown pass that went right through his hand that last drive.
Sure.
I mean, that was incredible that he could drop that. So, you know, looking at it that very isolated way, you could say Philly should have won the game. You know, and I guess maybe they should have. Peterson is certainly embracing the analytics, and I'm not sure going forward on that 4th-and-goal was the right play. I know that they made it, but at the time, I remember saying, I don't think this is right.
Me too.
You know, make or miss, whatever. I thought, you know, kicking a field goal and cutting it to 8, I thought would have been the proper thing to do. But nonetheless, I think Philadelphia, you know, I'm going to assume they get some of these guys back, certainly at this point. I haven't heard otherwise. But I think 7.5 is a good opening number for this one. Like I said, Detroit, I still got my questions about them, even though they pulled out the win, or did the Chargers lose it? Which way did that go?
Yeah.
So I think the Chargers just have a habit of losing games like that. So I think that's more what happened than Detroit actually, you know, going in there and winning that game. So I think 7.5 is a pretty good place to start for this game.
You're right about Aguilar. He did catch 8 balls, 107 yards, and a touchdown. But the potential go-ahead score right through his hands with under 2 minutes left, streaking down the left sideline. He was on the receiving end of the big fourth down conversion on that drive, but nothing made up for that looked like short touchdown. He said he lost it in the lights. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's what happened there. Philadelphia, I'm short again.
What would Harry Carey say? Should he play with a sombrero?
Should he play with a sombrero? I short-armed another one. I went below 7, and you're saying it's 7.5. So I came up short on a couple of these. Let's do another one here.
Okay, this is the game of the day, I think. Baltimore at Kansas City.
Two undefeated teams here in the early going, 2-2-0 teams. Baltimore did not exactly skate by the Cardinals yesterday. They end up winning by 6, 23-17, falling well short of the big spread in that game, which was 13. They end up winning 23-17. The Kansas City Chiefs, let's just start there. Remember, by the way, Lamar Jackson was wonderful in this game. Like, he's got 7 touchdown passes already this year. I think, what did he have last year? Let me see a quick check on him. I think he's already exceeded his total from last year, and he's done so in 2 games. Obviously, he played Miami the first game, and we'll get to the Dolphins, so that's something. But with the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were held scoreless in the first quarter, and they were held scoreless in the second half. They did have 1 touchdown call back in the second half. But that second quarter was Doug Williams-esque, Chrissy, from Super Bowl 23. 20.
I had the right side in that game, so I'm with you on that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, but you had the right side in the Super Bowl or yesterday?
In the Super Bowl, yeah.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Lamar Jackson, 122 yards rushing for the Ravens, threw over 250 yards in the same game. That's the most yards rushing ever for a quarterback who threw for over 250 yards in the same game, 122, according to ESPN stats and information. He was 24 of 37 for 272, two touchdowns, no picks, and the 120 yards rushing. That after having a perfect rating last week against Miami, seven touchdown passes, a new single-season career high. He threw six in seven starts last season. Mark Andrews' tight end was his big target, 8 for 122 to touchdown. 10 penalties, though, for the Ravens. Add to the penalty parade, 10 for 62. They possessed the ball for 37 minutes, 38 seconds against the Cardinals, even though they only won by six. Back to Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, 30 of 44 for 443. Four touchdowns, no picks. That second quarter, DeMarcus Robinson exploits a blown coverage, 44-yard touchdown pass, first play, second quarter. Mecole Hardman, rookie, 42-yard deep strike, first career catch to give them a 14-10 lead. They spotted Oakland 10 points. They never scored again, the Raiders. Then two more long touchdown passes in the final 2 minutes of the half, 27-yarder to Kelsey, 39-yarder back to DeMarcus Robinson, who, by the way, 6 for 172, two touchdowns from DeMarcus Robinson. Kelsey, 7 for 107 and a touchdown. The Chiefs, 8 of 14 on third downs. They, too, 10 penalties, 114 yards. The penalty barrage was just ridiculous. All of that to say, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Patriots should just play in the AFC Championship already. With apologies to the Ravens. I get it. You're 2-0. But the Chiefs are going to be, and maybe I'll short arm this again, I have the Chiefs at 6 hosting the Ravens here.
Yeah, you're a little light. It's, you know, 6.5, and I see 6.5 with juice on the favorite or 7 with juice on the dog. I'm going to open this 6.5. I'll tell you what, first of all, I do think it's a three-way race in the AFC. Now, we've got a lot of football yet to play, so I hate to jump the gun too much. But to me, it does look like Kansas City, New England. But I would not throw Baltimore out there yet or out of that mix. Kansas City, what they have rushing the ball, Gil, I'm sure you've got the stat sheet in front of you. I don't think they gained 50 yards rushing. And they're sitting on a pretty big lead. That could come back to haunt them. And, you know, I've said since we've been doing this show, not that I'm a Baltimore fan by any stretch of the imagination, but John Harbaugh, I do believe, is probably the second-best coach in the NFL. He gets the most out of his talent every year. And I think he's got this Lamar Jackson. He's a little bit different of a quarterback. You know, he sat on him for most of last year. But now he's geared his offense around this guy, and this offense isn't bad. I know they didn't produce huge numbers, but like you said, they had big time of possession, and of course they won the game yesterday. So I think Baltimore is in that mix, and I kind of have a feeling Baltimore hangs in there with this Kansas City team. As impressive as Kansas City was yesterday, like I said, the one chink in the armor maybe I see is that they don't run the ball as well as they probably need to if they're going to protect big leads. I think Baltimore. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. I was like, we're going to learn a lot from this game, aren't we? Like, and this will have, I hate to say it in week three, but this will have playoff implications, perhaps, if there somehow ended up being a tie. Don't think there will be, but it could. To answer your question, 182 yards on the ground for the Ravens, but 120 of those were from Jackson himself.
Okay, but what did Kansas City have on the ground?
Oh, I'm sorry. Kansas City you were looking for.
Yeah, that's where I was going. They're the team that's going to have some big leads and going to have to protect it.
I'll effort that. But 6.5 is where you said you're opening that?
6.5, yeah. I see it trending a little higher, but I definitely want to take a bet at 6.5. I think Baltimore's right in this game.
Okay.
High total, we're looking at something about 55 or so. So, I'm sure we're going to be looking at those kind of numbers all year with this Kansas City team. But I think Baltimore, has a pretty good chance of staying in there and maybe given Mahomes a little bit of trouble in this game.
31 yards on the ground for the Chiefs. 31.
Yeah, see, and they're projecting a 28-point lead or whatever. I think it was 18 was at the high, which would, pretty much the whole second half. You got to run the ball a little bit better than that against a good team. And, they were lucky to hold on. But if they're playing a real, real solid team, you're going to have to run the ball a little bit better than that to hold on to a lead.
All right, so I'm like a half point or a point and a half shy on all these. Some of them not through the seven, a couple others through them. Don't know what all that means, but interesting so far. We got a whole bunch more to get to. Week 3, Chrissy Andrews doing his thing back in the saddle where he belongs, right here on Guessing Lines. It's a numbers game coming back right here at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It's time for a Guessing Lines public service announcement. I feel like there should be one when we talk NFL, and we're back into the NFL season. We all love the NFL, right? We all grew up on it. For goodness sake, the first time I saw an NFL game when I was 6 years old, I was obsessed for life. Right? My parents are like, who is this alien child we have? They're not even from this country. They're like, what is he so interested in? But it deserves to be said, and we'll bring Chrissy Andrews back in on the show. Chris Andrews, the director of the South Point Hotel Sportsbook. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at Andrews Sports. I can't help but think, Chris, and I just want your reaction to this, because I do think it deserves to be mentioned once in a while, that betting the NFL, so many of these games come down to Plinko, right? It's why teasers are so good in the NFL. The volatility of scoring is muted, and so teasers make sense. But I can't help but think that yesterday, even when I was 3-2 in Circa, right, and the week before I got crushed on the Redskins backdooring the Eagles. I got beat on Detroit, snatching a tie from the jaws of victory against the Cardinals, and then I actually lost a couple on my own. I went 1-4 the first week, 3-2 this week, and I can't help but think to myself, I was no worse last week than I was this week. And for those who do very well in the NFL, oftentimes it's not them. Like, we have this confirmation bias that when we do well in the NFL, we're like, oh, I'm so good at this. But when things don't go against me, there's always some calamity on the field that happened. It's the way that our brains are wired. We have this confirmation bias towards that end. And I guess what I'm saying with the NFL is, more often than not, man, it is really the vagaries of the game. Like 80% of these games are just completely random, and it's the 20% on the margins is all we can really count on. You know what I'm getting at there? Do you agree with that, what I'm saying there?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, you're exactly right, though. That's why teasers are so popular. And obviously, you know, if you do them right, and there's a right way and wrong way to do almost everything, but that could be a pretty good winning strategy in the NFL. I mean, how many games come down to the fourth quarter? You know, quite a few. And then you look at how important is your kicker. Pretty darn important. Meanwhile, it's probably the lowest paid guy on your roster as far as like starters go. And, you know, they change kickers all the time. I mean, it seems like it's rare anymore for a kicker to stay with the team for any length of time, sometimes not even the course of a whole season. You know, so a lot of games come down to the fourth quarter. A lot of games come down to your kicker. And there's a lot of randomness at the end of the game. And, listen, we've been on Twitter for a long time. I remember just seeing so many young kids. You know, I hit 70% yep. in the NFL last year. Follow me and, selling picks and doing all that stuff. Then you never hear from them again. You know, can you hit 70% for a year? Yeah, sure. I guess you can.
Sure,
I mean,
you could.
We see it all the time in the Super Contest. You know, but can you do it year after year? Yeah, I doubt it. You know, listen, I knew Billy Walters. I want to say I knew him well. I knew him a little bit. You know, and he said, boy, if he can get 57-58% year after year after
oh,
year,
man.
He'd sign up for that. Yeah.
Sign
up for that for sure.
Listen.
You know, but, aiming to get 57-58%, you got to think, you know, you got to get the best of the number, got to manage your money properly, et cetera, et cetera. And there's going to be a lot of luck involved, and you know, you got to just try to be on the right side of that lucky break that's coming.
You really do. It's like, and I'll just leave it with this. It's when we went to Piero's years ago, I don't know if you remember this, with Roxy. And Roxy said to me, and I'll never forget, he said, Gil, no one beats the NFL. Nobody. And what he meant by that was, if you're doing this pre-flop ATS, sure, you can beat it for a month, you can beat it for a year, but what you're just describing is all I'm getting at, which is, if you think you're going to beat this lifetime and the breaks are always going to go your way, dude, it's not you. Trust me. It's just the lines are so efficient, you know?
Well, I've been around a long time, obviously, you know, and I know two guys personally that have beat the NFL, Billy being one of them and my Uncle Jack being the other one. So, you know, my Uncle Jack has passed away in this last year, and, you know, Billy, I hope he's doing okay, but, you know, he famously is, in prison right now for something totally unrelated to gambling. But, you know, those are about the only two guys I know that have done it long term. You know, year, couple years, yeah, sure. A lot of guys, you know, can hang their hat on that. But there's not too many, older guys that have done it for their lifetime. Very, very, very few. And I'm sure there's some out there that I haven't heard of.
Listen,
I don't know them personally.
There's no question that people are, there's some people listening to this right now, and they're going to take this to the extreme, and they're not taking it for the meaning that it's meant, the level that I'm meaning it at, which is, I'm not saying that you can't do it, and the reason we go through this exercise is because we all want to beat it on a weekly basis and on a monthly basis,
sure.
But just know that it's stacked against us in this sport. By the way, James Salinas, we can throw him into that group as well, perhaps, as a modern-day version. We'll see if
pretty
James...
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty darn
pretty
good.
Pretty good handicapper. Yeah.
First, third, no and doubt. 26th in a four-year span, 3 years out of four in the Super Contest. Let's do one more here, Chrissy. What do you got?
Cincinnati at Buffalo.
Oh, that's not very exciting. Cincinnati 0-2, but Buffalo's 2-0. 2-0 is 2-0. They beat the Giants. Excuse me, they beat the Jets in week one, then they turn around in the same stadium and beat the Giants. So two road games technically for them in the same stadium. They beat the Giants yesterday 28-14. The Giants are dreadful. They really are. Andy Dalton for the Bengals yesterday, and the Bengals, after losing to the Seahawks by a point in the first week of the season, Bengals yesterday really got crushed by the Niners, 41-17. Andy Dalton, 26-42, 311, two touchdowns, one pick, but he was sacked four times. Boyd was his number one target, 10 for 122, but only 25 yards rushing. Getting back to your thing about how many yards are these teams rushing for, not a lot of balance there. Bengals 0-2 for the second time in the last 3 years. Buffalo, penalty train, didn't matter. They overcame nine penalties for 65 yards. That's their first 2-0 start in 5 years, just their third in 11 years. And three straight touchdown drives. Now, you remember we talked about this with the Cowboys. We'll get to the Cowboys momentarily. But three straight touchdown drives for the Bills in this game of 75, 70, and 98 yards in that game against the Giants. And remember, the Giants gave up five consecutive drives to the Cowboys the previous week of big length as well, of long drives in a span between the second and third quarter. So the Giants have been good for that in 2 weeks. Buffalo exploits that. I'll say it's Buffalo minus three. Seems a little light. I'll say four.
Hey, you're a little light again, Gil. I'm imagining you're going to be on a lot of favorites or a lot of dogs this week. It's mostly six. I see a couple straight five and a half.
That seems like a lot to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I'd like the five and a half a little bit better. I'm going to put it, it's mostly six, and I expect when I do put it up five and a half, they're going to bet me on the favorite. But that's okay. I think, first of all, a couple things about Buffalo. They beat a Jets team who wound up with a ton of injuries the second half. Well, they were down 16-0, if I remember correctly.
That's correct,
and came back and won 17-16.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat a really bad Giants team yesterday. And Josh Allen, I know a lot of guys had questions about him coming out of the draft, me included. But a lot of guys were rooting against him, I think, just to probably, I think, go back to that confirmation bias thing, just to prove themselves that they were right. But I think the kid's been pretty good. He's been, I think, a pleasant surprise. I kind of root for all these guys coming out of college just because I want the league to do well. And but I don't think they deserve to be a six-point favorite here. But I think the public will definitely be on Buffalo in this game. That Cincinnati Niner game yesterday, very interesting. Tons of action on that game, which I like Cincinnati myself in the game, but it really, lots of opinions both ways. I mean, we had both teams favored in that game, depending on when you bet it. So a lot of interest in both sides, but I think Cincinnati better than what they showed yesterday. And I like them in this spot. I think getting six, probably a little bit of a bargain. And that's probably who I'm going to need come Sunday morning. But that's okay. I'll take my chances with Cincinnati.
That's the first one I really like. You remember 2 weeks ago, I had Cincinnati, as many did, at Seattle. And they were catching nine at Seattle. They ended up losing by one. And Seattle, known for their prowess at home, right? And they made a game of it. They're six-point dogs here at Buffalo? I'll take the Bengals again. You give me all those points? I mean, the Bengals aren't good, but they're not that bad. I'll take the Bengals. I'll take those points.
Yeah, I think that, they have a good defensive line, and it didn't show yesterday. It didn't mean much, but, people get too carried away with 1 week in the NFL. And I think right now, Buffalo, this line's a little high. I think we're judging Buffalo off of, a half or a lot of injuries for the Jets, and then they come back and beat a very bad Giants team. So let's not get carried away yet on Buffalo.
All right, we'll come back. Got a whole bunch more week 3 lines to get to, guessing lines with Chrissy. We'll resume. I'll do a little baseball update. Chrissy, we'll come back. We'll do it at the top of the hour. Let's do that. Guessing Lines with Chris Andrews from the South Point here. He's in L.A. We'll do it again, try to extract some value in these lines. Your first salvo towards handicapping for next week, whether it's contests or just your own bets, teasers, or whatever it might be. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Support for today's podcast, as always, comes from Bookmaker.eu, an industry leader for close to 30 years. Pro bettors consider them a must because they're first to post odds, take the highest limits, and the big one, they've never kicked out a winning player. They don't do it. Such a rare commodity these days and such a key thing. Bookmaker's a high-volume sports book that best suits to sophisticated players who understand sports betting, also caters to large recreational players as well. And their motto, as always, is where the lines originate, because chances are your sports book follows their line. And because you listen to this podcast, the Beating the Book podcast, you can visit bookmaker.eu/GILL. That's bookmaker.eu/Gill. Join and claim an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. That's bookmaker.eu/Gill, G-I-L-L, to join and claim your welcome bonus of up to $300. Bookmaker.eu/Gill.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Baseball. We'll get all our baseball guests back on tomorrow. We're on the football schedule. We do guessing lines on Monday. But Paul Spohr, Jason Weingarten will be on the show tomorrow, along with Michael Lombardi. And some college football with Pete Futak. But baseball, 2 weeks left in the season now. Let's do one more game here, Chrissy, for week three guessing lines. Where do you want to go?
Atlanta at Indianapolis.
Atlanta, we described with that win against the Eagles. They held on yesterday on the big Julio Jones play, fourth and three conversion, where he took it to the house, took it into the tunnel. So Atlanta gets the win last night by the final score of 24-20. Let's see. 24-20, by the way. They were one-point closing dogs in that ball game. They're at Indianapolis. Indianapolis gets by, as we mentioned, got by Tennessee by two. Jacoby Brissett did throw a pick. He's very good with the football. But the Colts, 7 of 14 on third down. That was a Frank Reich staple. Remember, Frank Reich was in Philadelphia. We talked about the third down conversions when he was there. We mentioned Andrew Luck, 11-0 against the Titans. Jacoby Brissett picks up where he left off. I think Adam Vinatieri might be retiring today, Chrissy, though. There's that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting. I'll say Indianapolis by a field goal. This seems pretty sort of, you know, mechanical to me that this should be three. I can't imagine it being something else.
Well, I see 2.5 or 2.5 with juice on the favorite, 3 with juice on the dog. I'm going to open 3. First of all, I really, you know what a big Andrew Luck fan I was. And I think they finally assembled a team around him that was kind of complimentary to some of the things that he did well. And of course he retired. This was probably the deepest roster that they've had since he had been there. So I think the team is pretty good. And I think Jacoby Brissett, not bad. Now, that being said, I think Atlanta is a playoff team. I know they've looked a little shaky in the two games so far this year, but I still think they're a playoff team. I think, and I think you may have kind of said the same thing. I think Indianapolis is probably the best team in that division.
Yeah.
But I'm going to open 3. I know they'll take the 3. I'm going to take a pretty good size bet before I go to 2.5. And I think it's just one of these where, of course, you know, at the South Point, we don't use juice. Everything's 11-10. So we're going to open 3. I'm sure they'll take the 3. We can go to 2.5. They'll probably lay back to 2.5. But I'm okay needing Indianapolis in this game. I think 3 is a very good opening number.
Okay, 3 it is. Indianapolis has led 12 straight games at the half. And that on the heels of when the year when Jacoby Brissett was replacing Andrew Luck, they led the fourth quarter all the time and ended up 4-12. They're not the Chiefs, they're not the Patriots, but they might be the tier right below that. We'll come back. More guessing lines with Chrissy on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Guessing lines, week 3 in the National Football League. It's Gil Alexander. JB, John Brown is kind enough to hang out on Mondays with us. And Chrissy Andrews, of course, my mishpucha from L.A. this morning. And hopefully Chrissy will be back here in the studio with us in short time. Chrissy, can I repeat what I just said about the Indianapolis Colts? I know we got about 10 more games to get to, but real quick,
yeah,
right at the
sure
end of that hour, I just want to point this out to people because I think this is an interesting thing. The Colts have led at halftime – in 12 straight football games. Now, that might not seem, oh, so what, Gil? They don't win 12 games. But when you add that, remember, again, the Jacoby Brissett year where he replaced Andrew Luck in 2017, they ended up 4-12, but they led in the fourth quarter all the time. They got torpedoed by horrible play calling. And then the notion that they lead every game now for 12 straight at halftime, it's sort of this thing where I don't think people think of the Colts in a way that perhaps they should. This is a really good football team, really good offensive line, that the drop-off from Andrew Luck to Jacoby Brissett, probably not as large as people thought it was. Those of us who had followed Jacoby Brissett and had some opinions about Andrew Luck were on the opposite end of that. We kind of knew that it wasn't a monster drop-off. Not to say that Luck wasn't great, but Jacoby Brissett probably a lot better than people thought. But I think it's interesting, when you are leading that many football games at that point, you set yourself up for success. And I just think that, no, they're not the Patriots and they're not the Chiefs, but I think they're probably the leader in the clubhouse in that division. Maybe I can't even say that because the Texans will have something to say about that, as will the Titans. But I just think they are that tier below. It's a big below. It's a big drop-off from the number two team to the three team in the AFC. I will admit that. But that's interesting to me. 12 straight halftime leads.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember the voice of Bill Walsh, you know, when he had some of those great 49er teams. And obviously they had a lot of leads too. And he said the two most important things were running the football and rushing the passer when you have that big lead. And I think right now, I think Indianapolis certainly can run the ball much better than they could during the Andrew Luck years. And I think their pass rush is probably a little bit better too. So having a lead is always a good thing in the NFL. And I always laugh. I say, you know, you have a lead in the NFL, a lot of times the game's almost over. You could be down three touchdowns in the college game in the fourth quarter, and you're still, like, right in it. You know, it's just a whole different game. You know, but I think they're going to be – I think they are a pretty good team. And I think that, I'm a huge Andrew Luck fan, so obviously I think there's a drop-off. But, they finally had a good team around him, and I think Jacoby Brissett – will capitalize on that. And I think, you know, kid's pretty good. He's not bad.
In Seinfeld terminology, the Colts can take a reservation. The question is, can they hold that reservation? I think is where we're getting at.
Yeah, I think they can hold a lot of them. Yeah. I think they can.
All right, let's move on. Let's do some more here. What do you got? Still early games, Oakland, I would imagine.
We're still on early games, right? Oakland at Minnesota.
Are we still doing that thing like we did yesterday with like 10 early games and 3 late games? I hate that. I hate that they do this.
Although the 3 late games are all pretty good. Well, at least on paper going into the day.
All right.
So that I thought was okay. But 10 was too much in mind. Let me see. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 early games this week.
All right. Not as bad. Oakland at Minnesota, interconference game. I'm just going to say it's Minnesota by a touchdown up front. Oakland, we already described. They had a 10-0 lead against the Chiefs, and then just a torrent, a Patrick Mahomes casual 28-point quarter sunk the Raiders. Nobody scored in the second half. By the way, if you had the over in that game, you probably feel like you just absolutely got hoodwinked by the scoreless second half. So that's Oakland's story. They're 1-1. They beat the Broncos the first week. Minnesota, who crushed Atlanta the first week with Kirk Cousins only dropping back 11 times and throwing 10 passes. Here's an interesting tweet from Krauser. What does that say? Krauser FIC right there, JB? Is that what that says?
Or Krauserific, I think is the...
Oh, Krauserific. I'm sorry. I couldn't see it that small. The Vikings, this is the Vikings game against the Green Bay Packers yesterday, which they lost 21-16. The Vikings put up 7.0 yards per play and allowed 4.9 yards per play, but lost. There have only been 13 games in the last 10 years in the NFL with the losing team gaining over 7 yards per play and the winning team fewer than 5 yards per play. Of those 13 games, Kirk Cousins has been the losing quarterback in 3 of them since 2013.
Wow.
And Krauser goes on to say, kryptonite. Now, for those of us who are Washington Redskins fans and have seen every game that Kirk Cousins has ever played, we're all nodding and we're all going, yes, preach. This is what he does. He fills up a stat sheet and then makes one egregious, if not more egregious, errors in crunch time than anybody I've ever seen. And yesterday, it was the unforgivable throwaway that he didn't throw away. And it got picked in the back of the end zone, and the Vikings were getting rolled. I mean, excuse me, were rolling the Packers at that point. Dalvin Cook was just doing whatever he wanted to do, and that was it. They couldn't win. They couldn't cover. And if you were a Packers backer, you had to feel real fortunate about that. The Vikings, 8 penalties, 100 yards, 4 turnovers. Kevin King picking off that ball late in the fourth quarter in the back of the end zone. Just a great stat there by Krauser, but that's his story. But I think the Vikings are 7-point favorites here against the Raiders. I think a touchdown is right.
You're a little light again. I think 8, a couple of 7.5. So I think 8 is a good number. You know, Oakland, I think they are what we thought they were, you know, to paraphrase Danny Green. And I think Minnesota kind of makes amends. You know, that is an impressive stat sheet. I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to make that egregious error to come back to haunt them in this particular spot. You know, Oakland now going on the road. And they got a long road in front of them next to quite a few games. I forget what the number is. But they won't be home again for a while. And I think that that probably has to be in the back of their minds a little bit. But I think Minnesota, coming off that game where they easily could have won, certainly should have covered. I think 8's a good place to start.
Okay. I'm hitting the front of the rim on everything today, Chrissy. Hitting the front of the rim on everything.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook, 20 carries, 154, and a touchdown yesterday. Dalvin Cook is the real deal. And this last thing about Kirk Cousins. Since 2015, 44 fumbles. Not even kidding. I'm not making that up. 44 fumbles since 2015. No, I dropped the mic and I walk out of the room on that. All right, what's the next one?
The Jets at New England.
Okay, so we haven't seen the Jets this week. They're hosting the Browns tonight. Jeff Parlay, producer number 5, in the house for that one. Again, it'll be Trevor Siemian. We don't know if we're getting Sam Darnold back for this game against the Patriots or not. I'm not sure it matters. Patriots just absolutely crush again yesterday. Patriots beat the Dolphins, and they beat them by the score of 43-0. That coming off their 33-3 win over the Steelers previous Sunday night. I believe that's 76-3 by my addition right there. Combined score. AB, Antonio Brown, he was allowed to play. 4 catches, 56 yards, and a touchdown. The Patriots scored twice on interception returns in 2-minute span in the fourth quarter. Their defense outscored Miami with those interception returns. 54 yards by Stephon Gilmore, 69 yards by Jamie Collins. Patriots had 7 sacks, 4 picks. Steven Gostkowski, he missed 2 extra points in a 48-yarder. What is going on with these kickers? New England hosting the Jets. Again, there's probably not a line because the Jets haven't played. But, I mean, can it be lower than 14.5 or something like that?
Oh, no. There is lines out there. You're hitting the front of the rim again, my friend. It's 17.5 and 18.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So I guess I'm going to go with 17.5. I don't think we're going to see Sam Darnold next week. I can't imagine a doctor clearing him to play this quickly after mononucleosis. You know, I mean, I know it usually takes at least a month. I mean, you know, he's a big, strong kid, and probably a lot more healthy than your average guy that gets mono. But I don't see, but, you know, we'll see what happens tonight. You know, we kind of, you know, we have a little bit in our memory banks about Trevor Siemian. I'm not expecting a great game out of the Jets tonight. But 17.5, I think that's a pretty good number. I'll tell you, I don't know who wants to stand in front of this New England train right now, because they are pretty darn good. Plus, even in the game yesterday, Belichick's calling pass plays in the fourth quarter. So, you know, he's not one to step off the gas at any time. And I don't think he'll do it against a division opponent either.
So, you know, last week when we did this on guessing lines, I guessed 17.5 Patriots at the Dolphins. And you told me at the time, remember, it was 16.5 at the time. And then it soared to me and then passed me. So it's not like I underrate the Patriots, but that was against the Dolphins, and I get it was on the road, but it's the Dolphins. The Dolphins could be historically bad. The notion that 14.5 at home against the Jets is like ridiculously low by a field goal. I don't know that I would rush to lay the 17.5 against the Jets. I really don't, because I could see Belichick just going real vanilla, and they're not the Dolphins. The Jets might not be good, but the Dolphins are their own level. So that's interesting. 17.5 in favor of the Patriots. I barely grazed the rim on that one, to be quite honest with you. Let's do. I might have just hit the net. What's next?
Speaking of the Dolphins at Dallas.
Okay, so now what you just said about the Patriots, and now what I just said about the Dolphins. I have to rethink what I was going to say, because I was going to say Dallas by 18.5, but that's going to be short. There's no way it's 18.5. That's got to be teetering on 3 touchdowns. If it, I'll say 20.5 or 21. I'll say 20.5 because I had 18.5. But Miami, minus 92-point differential in their first 2 games. They lost 102-10 if you add the Ravens and the Patriots games together. Yesterday, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I guess I know it's against the Patriots, but 11 of 21 for 89, no touchdowns, 3 picks, 4 sacks. Josh Rosen in relief. 7, what is 7? I messed up the stat here. 97 yards passing, no touchdowns, 1 pick, 3 sacks. 100. They had 184 total yards. Let's just leave it at that. The Dolphins had 184 total yards. And listen to how the Cowboys, so Dak had a perfect rating last week. And then he turns around. Remember last week against the Giants, there was the 93, 83, 75, 89, excuse me, 75-yard drive, 93, 83, 75, 89, 5 consecutive possessions. Then yesterday against the Skins, 97, 83, and 75 consecutively. Dak was 26 of 30 for 269, 3 touchdowns. He now has the most games with a 90 QBR, 90 total QBR or higher, 10 since 2016. No one else has more than 7 in that span. And he added 69 yards on the ground yesterday. Zeke, 23 of 111 with a touchdown. The Cowboys' first 4 games end up being the Giants and the Redskins, the dregs of the NFC East. They get Miami this week, and then they're going to get the Saints without Drew Brees, probably, in week 4. Damn you, Cowboys. So I'll say 20.5, and I wouldn't be surprised if you tell me it's I'm going to be short again.
You're a little short. It's 21. And once again,
God,
I don't see him beating down the doors at Miami in this one. So we're going to open 21. By the way, we went to 19.5
on the Patriots.
It was our high water mark on the Patriots. And we did have the wise guys come in. I mean, it's a pretty big play on Miami, plus 19.5 and plus 19. Really, as far as strength bets goes, we got evened up on that game. Of course, all the parlays and everything else were on New England, as you would expect. But, boy, I'll tell you what, it's going to take a lot of wood to bet on Miami this week. And I see some 21.5s out there. I have a feeling we're going to wind up getting there. So I'm going to open 21 and see what they want to do with it. I mean, that's just a big, big number. Big number.
But you remember last week when I said, when you said it was 16.5, and I said, give me the Patriots all day, and you said, well, the wise guys will probably be on Miami. And I said, if they're on Miami, that's just muscle memory, and that's just too cool for school. The Miami Dolphins are a league apart. Anybody who's betting on them, and at 21, like, there's nothing they have shown to indicate that they are a professional football outfit at this point. And Dallas is just rolling. So I don't know how you – I mean, look, if you're in a contest and you're not betting real money, maybe you take the 21. But if you're – I'm talking about, like, real money bets. That's the currency I'm dealing in. Are you really gonna bet the Dolphins at that number? I don't think you can. 21. Wow.
It's almost impossible to bet on them. It really is. But 21 – I mean, that's a mountain to climb in the NFL. It really is.
And it deserves to be stated that, like, this does not exist before this year. There were not 20, like, what's the, I mean, if there was a 21-point spread, it was a historical spread. Now every time the Dolphins take the field away against a good team, this is going to come up every time.
Okay, I can remember one game. Steve Young's 49ers
right.
playing the Cincinnati Bengals when David Shula, I guess, was the coach. Cincinnati was about this bad, probably a little better than Miami. But Niners were, I think, about a 21-point favorite, 20 or 21, right in there. Depends on where you bet it and at what time. And Cincinnati covered that number fairly easily, if I recall correctly. But maybe one of our VSIN analytics guys could look that up. But, you know, Niners and I want to say about maybe 93-ish, somewhere around there. You know, the Niners with Steve Young, one of those great Steve Young games that could really put up some points.
But think about that, Chrissy. That's how far you have to go back. And here we are, week two at home. They're 19.5-point dogs. Yeah. Week three on the road, 3 touchdowns. Jeez.
Yeah, this was in San Francisco. This was in San Francisco.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more here before the break.
The Giants at Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay on extra rest. If you want to listen to a dissertation on the final drive of that Carolina-Tampa Bay game, see it on VSiN.com, the VSiN app. Go to a numbers game on Friday, segment 2, sort of broke that down. Tampa Bay's 1-1. The Giants are 0-2, and we already talked about them. They're dreadful. I mean, Saquon, 18 carries, 107 yards, but it's like a tree falling in the forest. Who cares?
Yeah.
They were 3 of 12 on third down, were the Giants. In the first 2 weeks of the season on third downs, they're 5 of 23 for 21.7%. Tampa Bay, by the way, they were 2 of 12 on third down in victory on Thursday. They also 12 penalties, the Bucs, for 66 yards. Not much to say here. Tampa Bay is going to be a I'm short on this again. Tampa Bay's a 6-point favorite, are they, here against the Giants?
Little short, 6.5.
6.5. All right, almost hit that one.
I can't be for that. I mean, who wants to bet the Giants? But, I mean, you want to lay points with Tampa Bay?
No, I really don't.
No, yeah. Me neither.
Because Jameis will make a mistake here or there. We'll come back. We'll do more. We've got a whole bunch more to get to. It is week 3 of the National Football League. Maybe I'll actually hit one of these this week. It's Gil. It's Chrissy. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Everybody, don't begin the football season, or don't continue it, or any sports season, as a matter of fact, without downloading the exciting new BetMGM app. First-time players can make their first bet completely risk-free, up to $500. And the same guys that bring you Atlantic City's premier hotel and casino will be with you all season long with a wide variety of betting options and easy deposit and withdrawal methods. Just download the app and use bonus code VSIN500 at sign up to get your $500 risk-free bet. That's bonus code VSIN500 to place your first BetMGM wager risk-free. You can sign up anywhere, but, and here's the key, you got to be in the state of New Jersey to place a bet. BetMGM, it's how you play the game. Download the app today. Must be 21 years of age or older. New Jersey only. Restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's the BetMGM app, available in all app stores. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chrissy Andrews, the director of the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook, here on the tip of the strip. Chrissy, I just want to point this out. John Brown has done a wonderful job. We were just talking about this Cowboys-Dolphins spread, which is at 21 points this coming weekend at Dallas. There are 6 spreads in modern football history that are larger than the current 21. Now, we'll see where this game closes. But at the number 21, in ascending order, here are the 6 games. And you tell me if you remember these offhand, Chris, because the one you just mentioned is in that group. Patriots-Dolphins in 2007. The Patriots were 22-point favorites in that game. Another Tom Brady team.
I do kind of remember that one. That was that year that they – I remember that I was – you know, I did step in front of that New England train a couple of times, and I remember finally winning when they played Philadelphia. I took 17 the first half against Philadelphia. Okay, these are going crazy now. But, yeah, I kind of remember that one. Okay, go ahead.
By the way, the Patriots won that game 28-7, falling a point short of the 22-point closing spread in 2007. That was a home game in New England late in the season. Remember, that's the year that New England went undefeated until the Super Bowl. So 22-point spread. They fall 1 point short there. 1977. Now, a couple of these have to do with the futility of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at that time.
Right.
Cowboys were 23-point favorites over the Buccaneers in 1977. Cowboys-Buccaneers, 1977. 23-point
I don't quite remember that one. I don't quite remember that.
And that was,
I think there's one in there with the Steelers.
There is. That's coming up. By the way, the Cowboys, the Cowboys and the Buccaneers, they ended up playing a playoff game a couple years ago. That's how amazing that was. But remember, that was when the Bucs were 0-26 to start their first two seasons before they won two games at the end of the year. But by the way, Cowboys 23-point favorites in that game. They ended up winning 23-7, so they didn't cover either. Then there's the Falcons and the Niners in 1987. The Niners were 23.5-point favorites in that ball game. 1987, that was obviously one of the great Joe Montana years. That was the year the Redskins won the Super Bowl in a strike season. The Niners got upset in the playoffs by Anthony Carter and the Vikings. 49ers-Bengals, third highest spread of all time. This was 1993. 49ers were 24-point favorites in that ball game.
Wow. Okay.
Second highest, Denver-Jacksonville from just 2013. That was a Peyton Manning team that were 26-point favorites over the Jacksonville Jaguars. They ended up winning by 16, 35-19. Chad Henne was your quarterback for the Jaguars in that game.
Okay.
And then the highest one of all time, 1976, Steelers and the Bucks. So the Steelers are in the midst of winning Super Bowls. The Bucks are in the midst of being historically futile. Steelers were 27-point favorites, and the Steelers won 42-0. Your quarterback.
I do remember that one, and you know, back then totals weren't all that popular. So what was it? 27 was the number.
27, yeah.
I think the total was like 35.
That's great.
And I'm not kidding. I think that's about what it was. I'm not joking. I don't know if you have records of that. Like, not everybody used totals back then, but I think that for those that did, that was the total.
Starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that day, Steve Spurrier. Just want to point that out.
Ooh,
what was the game that you came up last segment? What was the matchup that you remembered?
The Niners and the Bengals.
The Niners-Bengals.
I got the year right, 93. I thought it was 21, but I guess 24 is probably
24,
more accurate.
That was the third highest ball up. So six games.
I have a story that didn't make the book that is about that that particular game.
Oh, do you want to tell that next week maybe?
Maybe next week we could go into that, because
okay.
I don't have it quite prepared, and it's a little too long, and we're going to run out of time.
All right. Let's move on to the next game. So six games, just establishing what we were just going through, six games with larger spreads. That's it. That's the list. Then this Cowboys-Dolphins game this weekend. Man, wait till the Patriots host the Dolphins. That's still to come.
Yeah.
That's going to make that list as well. All right. What do you got? What's next?
Carolina at Arizona.
Carolina at Arizona. Carolina's 0-2. Arizona's 0-1-1. Kyler Murray, not the worst of the worst. Kyler Murray comporting himself very well. 25 of 40 for 349. No touchdowns, no picks. He's the second quarterback ever with 300-plus yards his first two games. If you remember, Cam Newton, I think, went 400-400 his first two games. But Murray, four play, 79-yard touchdown drive to make it 20-17 against the Ravens in the fourth quarter with 12:52 remaining yesterday. They got close, didn't get it done, but, you know, they showed life. Christian Kirk, 6 for 114. Fitzgerald, Larry Fitzgerald, 5 for 104. They were 2 of 11 on third down. They couldn't matriculate when it mattered. And then Carolina's going to be on extra rest, and Cam just doesn't look that good. By the way, here's a note from Football Perspective, FBG Chase. Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals, this was yesterday, they're now the first team since the NFL moved the goalpost in 1974 to attempt three field goal attempts in a game while trailing from inside the five-yard line.
Yeah,
I thought Cliff Kingsbury was supposed to be progressive. By the way, I think it was a fourth and one from the four and fourth and goals from the three and two field goals each time.
I read somebody on Twitter, I wish I could credit who it was, and they think that Kingsbury just doesn't want to be accused of being a quote-unquote college coach.
Interesting. I'll say Carolina minus three on the road.
Yeah, it's 2.5 and three. Three with juice on the dog, 2.5 juice on the favorite. I'm going to open 2.5 and get a bet on Carolina. You know, Kyler Murray, I'm still not bullish on this guy long term. I just think he's just too little to take a lot of these hits that he's going to wind up getting, although he does know how to avoid them. I'll give him that credit. But Cam just does not look right. I'm going to open 2.5. I'm sure they'll bet me up, but I'm going to take a bet on Carolina minus a 2.5. I'm not sure they deserve to be much a 3-point road favorite anywhere. Well, except in Miami.
Are we in the afternoon
against Arizona?
Are we in the afternoon games?
That's the second 1 o'clock game. Tampa was the first 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's do one more. Let's finish with the afternoon games. What do you got?
Okay, New Orleans at Seattle, and now that's coming out that Drew Brees will not play. Matter of fact, he's getting surgery on his thumb. He looks to be out maybe up to 6 weeks.
Jeez.
So we're going to have Teddy Bridgewater for the Saints.
And Teddy Bridgewater did not look particularly good yesterday, but he didn't, you know, he was thrust into the role.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I loved Teddy Bridgewater when he was at Minnesota. I thought there was a great signing by New Orleans. But he had two games in the regular season with extensive playing time, and he has not looked good in either one of them, including yesterday. But I don't want to judge too quickly on two games because one was at the end of last season, kind of like in a mop-up. He started, but it was kind of a mop-up portion of the season. And then he got kind of thrown in yesterday. So I don't want to judge him too harshly off of that, but he has not looked good. And this is a kid I really, really liked a lot for a long time.
You know, the other thing about, you know, we talked about all the penalties, but just the injection of refs left and right. Bridgewater, by the way, 17 of 30 yesterday for 165, no touchdowns, no picks. The Saints, another one of these teams, 11 penalties, 87 yards. It's the theme of the day. Breeze left late in the first quarter, thumb injury. He was throwing the ball. His throwing hand hit Aaron Donald awkwardly, and you could tell it was serious. Yeah. Same way you could tell with Big Ben with his elbow yesterday against the Seahawks. Both injuries look very serious. So that was the end of Drew Breeze, and as Chrissy just reported, could be a while now. Could be 6 weeks. For Drew Brees, he saw a hand specialist last night in L.A., and that is the result, getting surgery. New Orleans didn't score an offensive touchdown for only the fourth time in 13-plus seasons under Coach Sean Payton. Of course, much of that, if not all of that, having to do with Brees' departure. And the big thing in this game, I mean, it just had to happen, right? All of these rules, all of these challenging of PIs and challenges of non-calls, all stemming from the Nickell Robey Coleman play in the game in the playoffs last year between the Rams and the Saints. And of all the games for the refs to mess up, it had to happen yesterday. Cameron Jordan of the Saints had a long fumble return for a touchdown. He got wiped out in the second quarter. The play initially was ruled an incomplete pass before video review determined that Goff had fumbled. But Jordan's long return didn't count because officials had blown the play dead. Don't do that anymore. We have replay, for God's sakes. And so the Saints got screwed again. And I don't know if it would have changed the outcome, but it could have changed the outcome. You know what I mean?
It might have.
Yeah.
It might have. It's early in the game. You know, it's a whole different game at that point.
Sure is. Saints, by the way, are going to stay on the West Coast. For those who are wondering, they're playing at Seattle. So they were in L.A. yesterday. They're going to stay on the West Coast to face the Seahawks on Sunday. The Seahawks get it done over what was largely the Mason Rudolph-led Steelers yesterday when Big Ben went out with the elbow injury. And let me just say this, again, trying very hard to be honest about one's bets. I had the Steelers. I didn't lose this because Big Ben went out. The Steelers were actually better with Mason Rudolph. It was not his fault they lost this game. They just couldn't get the Seahawks off the field. And, Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson. He had three great scrambles on their last drive, Seattle's last drive, helped drain the final 5:34 off the clock. And, I will say this. There was a play in that game where there was no flag called on a big third and 20, and then it was challenged, and then they called a PI on Pittsburgh. That was a massive play in this game. Pittsburgh shot themselves in the foot, though, a few times. That's another story. I would say Seattle, I mean, it's Bridgewater, so we don't, I mean, this has got to be at least a touchdown, right? I mean, I would start it at -7. I'll just say -7.
I only see one line, and I actually agree with it. Seattle's 4.5, and that's from my friend Nick Bogdanovich at William Hill. I kind of agree with that number. I thought it'd be about 4.5 with Bridgewater. I don't know if I've really talked much about it on this show. I'm not the biggest Drew Brees fan in the world. I think he's really, really good. But, you know, you compare him with Brady and Manning and those guys, like, during the course of his career, I don't think he was quite up to that level. And I hate to sell Bridgewater short. His last two games, not been very good. You get him a week to work with Sean Payton, who I think is very, very good as a coach. And I think they do have a lot of weapons there. I just have a hunch he'll be okay this week. So it's 4.5, and that's when I'm going to open. And they might come in on it, and I expect somebody's going to have some sort of opinions. They always seem to have them. And I'm going to open 4.5, though. I agree with that number. I think that's a good number.
Seems very light to me. Jadeveon Clowney and company going to feast, I think, in this game. Should be interesting. Teddy Bridgewater, as you say, will have a week to prepare, knowing that he will be the guy in this. We shall see on that one. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, you're saying 4.5 is the opening number. I would have had that at a touchdown in this game without Drew Brees. Let's do, do we have any more afternoon games? Let's do one more if we have one more.
Two more.
All right, let's do it.
Houston at the Chargers.
Houston at the Chargers. Texans get by the Jaguars, and I do mean get by. Eighth straight game for the Texans. This is an interesting stat. Eighth straight game in which Deshaun Watson has been sacked at least 4 times. That's not good. That dude gets banged up.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and it's not like Laremy Tunsil is helping, really, in that trade with the Dolphins. So 62 times. That's how many times Watson was sacked last year, an NFL high 62 times. But he is on pace to exceed that already. So they get by. Jacksonville attempts the two-point conversion down one, doesn't get. Leonard Fournette is stopped short by Justin Reed. Six red zone turnovers for the Chargers, though, since the start of 2018, and they were plagued again by it yesterday. They had 9 penalties for 70 yards, the Chargers. 2 horrible turnovers, the one from Austin Eckler at the 1 yard line. Phillip Rivers threw a bad one. 2 missed field goals. Their punter is their place kicker right now. And even though Eckler was 133 from scrimmage, that fumble was huge in this game. So the Chargers just did Chargers things yesterday. It was Patricia against Anthony Lynn. It didn't go the Chargers' way. It's so predictable with this team. The Chargers just snatched defeat from the jaws of victory in ways that other franchises don't seem to do it as consistently. So it's Houston at the Chargers. I mean, I guess the Chargers are 3-point favorites because I just don't know what else to make this.
Yeah, 3 with juice on the favorite, 3.5 with juice on the dog. I'm going to open 3. This is a tough one, I think, because I'm not a big believer in either team, but I don't think the Chargers have much of a home field advantage here. They play in front of, 23,000 people or something like that. I think it's not a great spot for either one of them. You know, so I think I'm going to open 3. They'll probably bet me up to 3.5, you know, because these guys just can't resist it, 3 minus 110. You know, so they'll probably bet me up. And I'm sure I'm going to play that little dance all week, 3, 3.5. But, wherever they put me in this game, I guess is where I'm going to be because I don't have much faith in either one of them. So we'll see what happens. But I think 3 is a good place to start with this game.
I ask a question at the end of my Megapod with Mike Palm and Todd Wishnev. One of the two questions is, which is the game, if you had to bet a side in every single game on the upcoming slate, but you got one free pass, let's say you lived in a bizarre world, you were forced to bet a side, but one game free pass, this has to be that game. Houston at the Chargers. Like, where's the edge here? You know, I don't know what you get from these teams on a week-to-week basis. Very tough to...
I'm with you. This is a tough one. That's why I think we got to start at 3 and... You know, wherever they take me, they take me. But I think that's a good place to start.
All right, let's do the last day game here. What's the other afternoon game?
This is a tough one. Pittsburgh at San Francisco. And they're going to decide this morning whether Roethlisberger needs surgery. Obviously, he doesn't want it. But, when you're looking at an elbow on your throwing arm, it does not portend well for Pittsburgh, for Roethlisberger. Whether they decide to operate or not. So I'm assuming he's out at this point. Right now, again, I only see one number. I only see William Hill. When we get on the break, I'm going to try to look for some other numbers here. But I don't think it's good news for Roethlisberger. But, Gil, you mentioned it the last segment. There's a lot of problems on Pittsburgh besides just Mason Rudolph. I thought he looked okay myself. And the rest of the team... I don't know. The defense looks bad. The offense certainly, missing 2 all pros. And I didn't think they'd miss them that much because they had 2 guys that stepped in pretty good last year. But they are definitely missing them, I can tell you that. They got a lot of holes on this team right now.
Rudolph was 12 of 19, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick yesterday in relief of Big Ben. It looked like one of these injuries, too. And I don't know if there was contact that initiated the pain, but it almost the way he was holding it, it reminds one of a pitcher in baseball who knows that he blew out his arm, right? He knows that he's destined for Tommy John surgery. It looked bad, and he looked like he's in a lot of pain. 37 years old for Big Ben and Pittsburgh.
Well, I hate to interrupt, but let me just throw this in for old Pittsburgh guys like me. You remember Terry Bradshaw was 33, and he hurt that elbow And he was never the same. And I think he wound up retiring at the end of that season. And that's what this this injury reminded me of. And I don't think he got hit either. I think he just blew out his arm, you know, and it's had a lot of wear and tear over the years. But I don't think it was good news for Roethlisberger.
Jeez. Jimmy G for the Niners, who host the Steelers next week. The Niners are 2-0 after beating the Bengals yesterday and the Bucks the week before, courtesy of two pick sixes. Pittsburgh now 0-2 after getting thrashed by New England and then beat yesterday by Seattle. Jimmy G, 17 of 25 for the Niners yesterday, 297 yards, three touchdowns and a pick. Matt Breida, 12 carries, 121 yards. He had 10.1 yards per carry. Did Breida. The Niners, 572 total yards of offense, 291 of which were in the first half. They gained 259 yards on the ground, 6.2 yards per carry. Again, with the penalties, though, 9 for 75. First back-to-back road wins for the Niners since 1989. That's hard to believe. And they also, by the way, with the Steelers, rather than return... Oh, excuse me. What the Niners did, we just talked about it, that the Saints are staying on the West Coast. The Niners just did that. They are just returning to the West Coast now. They stayed on the East Coast after that Tampa Bay game. They were in Youngstown, Ohio, before this game against the Bengals. So now they're headed back to the West Coast. So a lot of these teams opting sort of stay geographically where consecutive games are. Mason Rudolph, I would imagine it's him. And I would imagine the Niners should be about 4.5-point favorites if it's him. I got your number for this game that you said was going to be the Seattle game.
Well, you're a little light here again. It's 6, but like I said, I only see one number. I think that's a little high myself. So I'm going to go, when we're on the break here, I'm going to go try to find some other numbers. Right now, I only see William Hill has it up 6. I do think that's a shade high because, like I said, is the drop off from Roethlisberger to Rudolph big? Yeah, it is. It is. Let's not kid ourselves. It is. But I think there's more problems than just Ben Roethlisberger. And let's see if Pittsburgh can come off the mat being 0-2. You know, this is going to be a huge, huge game for them. And, you know, an 0-2 team at a 2-0 team, I think if you look back historically, and that 0-2 team is going to cover an awful lot of those numbers. You know, and I think that might be a case here, and I think 6 is probably a little bit too high. But I'm going to go. I don't want to announce what I'm going to open again because I think I got to. If I see lower, I'm going to open lower.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll do the two primetime games Sunday night, Monday night, Week 3 guessing lines with Chris Andrews right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
So here's what I like so far, Chrissy. Talking to Chris Andrews, of course. You can follow him on Twitter, at Andrews Sports. And the name of the book, once again, available at Amazon, Then One Day. Chris's 40-year career in bookmaking, Then One Day, available at Amazon, where all books are sold. What I like so far here, Chris, then, Cincinnati, based on the number, because I think Cincinnati catching all those points. What did you say the number was against... against Buffalo?
I'm going to open 5.5, but it's mostly 6.
Yeah, give me 6. If I can get 6 on Cincinnati, I like that. Then the other ones are not really line value so much as I just, you know, because I was right around the number. Philadelphia, I'll happily lay, you know, points. I had 6.5 against Detroit. I'll take the Doug Peterson versus Matt Patricia line there. What did you end up opening that one up again as?
Well, I said 7.5, but I see 7s now.
Yeah.
Primarily, I'm going to open 7. I like that number better.
So that
I'm
one
open 7.
That one came to me a little bit. Came a half point my way. Didn't go through 7 yet. KC's the other one. I kind of just, you know, like, what? How am I not going to feel good betting on the Chiefs every week? And they're at home. I know they're against the Ravens, but I like the Chiefs. And then the fourth one, which is almost like this mechanical thing, is. Should we all just be betting against the Dolphins, period, every single week? I mean, Dallas is 21 points. We just called it the 7th highest spread in history. I'm not so sure. I'm not going to consider that. The one that I'm most incredulous about, though, is the Patriots one. I had 14.5, and you telling me the Patriots are 17.5-point favorites against the Jets.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind on that one. Of course, we haven't seen the Jets tonight. Maybe my mind won't be so blown after the Trevor Siemian show tonight. Let's do Sunday night. What's the Sunday night game?
Sunday night, Rams at Cleveland.
So Cleveland hasn't played yet. They play tonight against the Jets. Again, 6.5-point road favorites. And the Rams, a little more of Gurley yesterday in that win over the Saints. But again, yeah, they did it against the non-Drew Brees Saints team. Gurley, 16 of 63 with a touchdown. Three catches, 4 yards. Rams by 4.5, let's say, as a placeholder.
And 3 with juice on the dog.
God, people love the Browns. I think
they still love them. And, you know, I'm in some contests with stale numbers, and I laid 2.5 and even pick them in one contest. But just because it's a line value. But, boy, they're even laying the 6.5 tonight. And I would be awful careful, I can tell you that. Not that I love the Jets, but I would be awful careful. But people love this Browns team. They really do. I'm going to open 3.
Good open 3. And that seems a little light. Yeah, of course, that'll be affected by what we see tonight. Barring injuries and by an outlying performance, we shall see. All right, 4.5. I'm not sure I would. I'll watch the Browns before I commit to that one. We'll come back. We'll do the Monday night game to wrap it up. Week 3, guessing lines on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
So Chrissy just brought it up with Drew Brees. That was reported first by ESPN's Adam Schefter that Drew Brees is expected to undergo thumb surgery as early as today. That could sideline him about 6 weeks. So bad news for Saints fans and Saints backers in season wins or futures, perhaps. He will be back, though, at some point this season. Not the case for Ben Roethlisberger.
Coming across now.
Yeah. Andrew Siciliano reporting, and it's a very succinct tweet. Ben Roethlisberger is out for the season. Dunzo.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading a lot of them here as I was checking out on the break. It's being reported widely now, Schefter and a lot of my Pittsburgh connections. Yeah, out for the season. And listen, what is it, 37? Bad elbow?
Yeah.
We may have seen the last of Ben Roethlisberger very easily. Yeah.
Yeah,
he had a great career. You know, he really 2 Super Bowl wins, and you know, to quote Chuck Knoll, it might be time for his life's work.
Might be time for his life's work. According to Adam Schefter, Ben Roethlisberger underwent an MRI on his right elbow that revealed he will need season-ending surgery this week. He will be placed on IR. So the NFL landscape changes very quickly with the developments from yesterday to obviously well-known names, great Super Bowl champions of the past. Drew Brees will be back at some point this year. Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh will not. The Mason Rudolph era perhaps has begun. We shall see.
Anyway, let me interject again. I mean, Mason Rudolph, who I think is pretty good, but he beat out Joshua Dobbs for that number 2 spot. Then Dobbs got traded this past week to Jacksonville. So right now, they'll be looking for a backup quarterback. They had Dobbs, who I thought was pretty good. Not an NFL starter, but a pretty good backup were anything to happen. But he's no longer with the team. He's with Jacksonville. So they're probably ruining the day that they did that. But they're going to be looking for another backup quarterback. So we'll see what happens out there. But looks like it's Mason Rudolph's team at this point.
Yeah. We close it out with the Monday night game next week. Hard to transition from that to this. But I happen to know what the Monday night matchup is because it involves my Redskins. The 0-2.
Chicago at Washington.
Yeah, Chicago at Washington. The Bears 1-1 after their dramatic win over the Broncos yesterday, as we described it.
Yeah.
Imagine the Bears could have been 0-2. Giving up 24 total points if they don't make that field goal yesterday. Imagine that.
Yeah.
They could have been 0-2 having only given up 24 points. They're at the Redskins. The Redskins are 0-2. The Redskins did what they did, not as dramatically. They were up 17-0 on Philly. They did look good early against the Cowboys yesterday before the Cowboys ran them off the field. The Skins are the Skins. They're so 6. They're such a 6-10 team. I would imagine the Bears are favorite, and I would imagine it's probably a tick more than a field goal, maybe 3.5 on the road at FedEx.
Looks like 4.5 is the number. So
fine with me.
Yeah, it looks a little steep to me, but boy, that Chicago defense is for real. I can tell you that. They have their problems on offense, no doubt. But that defense is very much for real. Is it the best in the NFL? Very easily could be.
Could be.
You know, they are good. I mean, listen, I know Green Bay's had some problems, but still played Aaron Rodgers. And played Denver, and I know Flacco's not what he used to be. Denver's not what they used to be. But 2 Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks they played, you know, and have given up, 24 points, you said?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good defense right there. And I don't see Washington lighting up the board against this team. So I think 4.5 is okay. Maybe a shade high, but you know what? If you open it lower, I know the public will come in on Chicago.
You're probably
so
right.
Open 4.5.
You're probably right. So, yeah. And with the Redskins, you don't know if Geis going to play. Is Reed going to play? Is Allen
yeah,
and Dunbar?
Of injuries there.
So,
yeah.
again
yeah.
for me, Cincinnati, the most on the line. Philly, KC, got to consider Dallas. And I am just most flabbergasted by that Patriots line being 17.5. That's just unbelievable. Jets sight unseen tonight, of course. Chrissy, thank you. I got to run. Love you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, pal. You got it.
Chris Good Andrews, week. Guessing Lines. Enjoy.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.